That's weird. That's fucking weird. We should probably talk about it. There's a mystery here.
Can we discuss how wonderful and hilarious Los Espookies is?
Oh my God. It's so cute.
It's wonderful.
Like, I want to, every time I want to tell somebody it's time to get going, now I want to be like, beep, beep.
And it has to be spelled B-I-P.
Like, oh my God. Yeah.
Beep, beep.
Beep, beep. And it's just his friend's like, go, beep, beep.
Oh my gosh. I love the really hot boyfriend that is like, are you talking about spooky things again? You know I don't like that.
You know I only like things that are beautiful.
Oh my God, it's so good. I feel like Fred Armisen stuff is real hit or miss with me.
I agree. But this is about the like kids in it, and it's, or they're not kids, they're like adults, kind of.
Yeah, he's, they're just clearly like the weird adults. Uncle.
One of them is like a dental hygienist. She's probably in her 30s.
They're clearly adults.
And like these kids, because they're younger than Fred Armisen, I guess.
I know.
Than their children. I don't know.
They're like in their 20s and maybe, I feel like they're maybe in their 20s.
Yeah.
And he's like in his 40s. They're, yeah, weird old uncle that encourages them to do spooky stuff.
It's the best.
Oh, it's so good. I think there might be a new episode now, but there was only one. And
yeah,
highly recommend.
It's just cute, you know? Like, it's not even like, like, it's not like the best thing I've ever seen. It's just like, it's so cute. I loved it.
It's cute. It's very well done, and it's kind of wholesome, and it's just like, I don't know, so great. And yeah, so spoopy. Yeah. If you haven't watched Los Espookies on HBO, you need to do that immediately.
Yeah, for real.
I mean, after you listen to this episode, then you can watch it.
Yeah, then you can watch it. Not now.
Not,
but like later.
Not now. You're listening to a podcast now? Right now. God.
Like, don't pause the podcast just to watch TV. Who are you?
Don't ever pause our podcast.
Did you see the email that we got after our last podcast where this one of our listeners details, like, they give us a real quick rundown of all of the New Zealand's hottest true crimes?
Yes.
That was amazing.
It's so good. We should find that and say thank you to that person. I definitely read it and then forgot about it, which is usually what happens with our...
That's what happens with the internet. But like, we did read it and the effort was appreciated and loved. So I just wanted to say that because it was like great.
It was great. And oh my goodness, what was it? Ebony Ashton from New Zealand. Thank you so, so, so much for sending us. It just says, New Zealand murders! Exclamation point.
It's the best.
Yeah.
I love getting it. Stuff like that from people. What was, we got another one recently, and the topic was of the email was just amazing.
Oh yeah, so it was aliens.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was amazing.
We get the best
emails. We get the best emails.
Just said, so it was aliens.
So it was aliens. I also really enjoyed the like the scary, creepy clown video.
Oh, Slops really outdid himself with that video.
I just was seeing it and I was like, starting a podcast is the best thing I've ever done.
Because where else would I have found this person?
No.
I mean, yeah. We
just get like so many, actually like so many listeners, especially like in the Facebook group. They're just so great.
It's truly wonderful. The weirdos that we have found, this little community. It's beautiful, Christy.
Aww.
Hi, by the way, I'm Ashley.
I'm Christy.
And this is That's Weird.
That's right.
It's a podcast about weird shit. And we release it on Weird Wednesdays now. This is episode 85.
Oh my God.
Oh, another thing. So last episode, I said that we didn't have any reviews, which was true. And since then, we've had so many reviews.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God. Ashley, we should try being pathetic more often.
I know. Gosh. Again, I feel like the beginning of this episode is just us gushing about our weirdos, but it's true. You're friggin' amazing. Thank you for all the new reviews. Ugh, you're perfect. I'm gonna
read. We love you, you cuties.
We love you. We love you so much. I'm gonna read you a short one. And it seems normal at first, but just wait until I tell you what the user's name is.
Oh, okay.
So it says, one of my new favorite podcasts. I love the topics covered and I find the host so endearing. Keep up the great work. Sincerely, BW's poopy chair. I have a lot of questions about the poopy chair. But... The rest of it is so sweet and like very professional.
I love that. That's so cute.
Thank you, BW's poopy chair. We appreciate you. And for real, these reviews help us so much. Anytime we get ratings, reviews, or new subscribers on iTunes, we get bumped up the charts so that other weirdos can find us. And it's the only way you can get featured. And it just helps a ton. So tell your friends. And thanks again.
Hell yeah.
Hell's motherfucking yes. I'm done with business.
Wow.
Just killing it today. Going fast.
Going right into it.
But since it's 85, which is odd, it means you go first.
Wow. Okay. mine is actually like another one of those. Like, remember when one of our listeners, Nessie, sent us like a shitload of very on brand for me ideas.
Absolutely, yeah.
So occasionally, I'll go check that if I run out of things that I want to talk about just naturally. So I'm doing Plum Island.
Plum Island. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. And shout out to Nessie for all the great ideas.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is Plum Island?
Plum Island is a little island that's part of New York. It's pretty close to Long Island.
Mm.
The U.S. government owns the entire island. And in 1954, they built Plum Island Animal Disease Center of New York.
What?
With the idea of studying foot and mouth disease in cattle.
In cattle?
Yeah. So foot and mouth disease is like a... like disease that basically like it affects feet and mouths of livestock and like hoofed animals, basically.
So why don't they call it hoof and mouth?
They do call it hoof and mouth disease sometimes.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But all the articles that I read called it foot and mouth disease.
Isn't that something that I feel like I've heard parents say that children get it at like daycare sometimes?
Maybe. So it's like, actually what I read was it's eradicated from the United States right now.
Dope.
But it is like endemic to other places. So, but it's like gnarly, like it's a virus and it's just, but yeah, I guess it is like kids get it a lot.
Gross.
Yeah. But this is called hand, foot and mouth disease. Which is, I wonder if it's different.
Because now hands are involved.
BRB. No, it's the same thing. Okay. But it's like a rash. But it like wipes out livestock.
Yikes.
Like on kids, I guess it's just like, man, that sucks. Like on livestock, it's like the worst.
How bizarre. So they like quarantine this island to test it?
Yeah, you're not allowed actually to study it on the mainland of the United States.
Holy shit.
So they put it on an island, I guess. I got a little sidetracked, but yeah, so this is what they said basically. Before that there was like a little like fortified like a fort. There was a fort there and they turned it into this like Plum Island Animal Disease Center of New York. They're like, we're gonna study foot and mouth disease in cattle and like all these other things. Basically the idea is to study all the viruses that are affecting the United States livestock. In the 50s, the U.S. was very into, like, protecting the industry of the United States. So, like, they wanted to make sure that no one could, or they had a preventative plan for if someone was going to, like, release some sort of bio-engineered weapon on our livestock or our plants and that kind of stuff and, like, kill us.
Wow.
By making the food go away. Yeah. Because economically, like, in the 50s, we were doing real good. And so I think that the, like, I just remember all of these other, like, videos and movies and TV shows that just sort of, like, give off this kind of impression that, like, the U.S. government is very big on, like, let's protect our industry from, like, USSR, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I feel like that was the big theme of that time in the U.S.
Absolutely.
A lot of, like, paranoia.
Let's protect our capitalism from the Soviets.
Yeah.
That's a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so they're studying, like, on this island, they're studying a bunch of diseases that affect livestock animals. It's not limited to foot and mouth disease. The people of Long Island kind of have had a back and forth against them studying certain diseases that are, like, more easily passed to humans, because that's, like, really scary because they're very close. Like, you remember the Montauk Monster?
Of course.
The Montauk Monster is rumored, allegedly, to be one of the things that came off of Plum Island. Like,
holy shit.
Possibly some crazy Island of Dr. Moreau type animal experiments have been happening there. And, like, animals like the Montauk Monster are being created, and one of them washed up, and that's what that was.
I believe that. Like, that's the
you
kind
believe
of
that.
That's the kind of conspiracy theory that I believe, because that, like, they're always doing experiments. The government is always doing experiments, whether we know about them or not. Usually, we find out many years later, like Operation Sea Spray, or like MK Ultra, that kind of stuff. Like,
oh, that's true.
It's absolutely happening, and they test on animals all the time. Like, that's their fucking favorite thing to do. It's the fucking worst. And so I find that very plausible. Though if they were studying cows, because, like, the Montauk Monster to me looks like a pig with a beak. Like a pig.
Oh, Ashley.
Oh.
They're studying cows and pigs.
Oh.
Basically any livestock animal that has hooves.
As long as you got them hooves.
As long as you got them hooves.
Wow.
Actually, one of the things that I read off the Wikipedia page, so this is actually just a fact, is any mammal on the island is killed. Like, just wild mammals on the island are killed because the diseases that they're studying could be transferred to those animals, and those animals could get out and then spread that disease, and we really don't want that. But there are also, like, apparently, like, a shitload of cool birds, and presumably they're doing great.
Can the birds fly off the island?
Yeah, but I don't, evidently they're not concerned about avian flu there. They're just studying, like, swine flu and foot and mouth disease, and, like, this is real. This is a totally real thing that the government's admitted to, is that they have, like, some really gnarly real livestock diseases that they're studying. Vaccines have come out of it. They've pretty much eradicated foot and mouth disease in livestock in America, apparently, due in part to a vaccine that they developed there from it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's like, it's shitty that I don't know. I always feel bad for the animals, obviously. So I think it's shitty that that's how they have to do it. But being able to get vaccines out of it, obviously, that's, you know, for the greater good. It's just so wild to think about.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, that's real. Like, it's the experiment thing and the possibility of danger, basically, of diseases that are real bad being spread is totally factual. But there's other things that people have talked about. Like, for example, there's a rumor that after World War II, Nazi virologists were helping us make biological weapons, just in general, for warfare.
Interesting.
And also that, like, Montauk Monster thing. Also, that maybe they've moved on to human experiments.
Oh, fuck.
As evidenced by, according to a New York Times article, a man with unusually long fingers and brain surgery scars that evidently washed up in Long Island.
He washed? Like, was he alive? Or his body washed up?
No, yeah.
Oh, no.
He was dead. Yeah.
That's very creepy.
Which, okay, so, like, yeah, it's creepy, but it also could have just been someone with, like, Marfan syndrome. Something where, like, you have, like, unusually long fingers, and it's just, like, yeah, and then they did brain surgery, but, like, maybe also he was in the mob or something. It's Long Island.
You never fucking know.
You never know. But, yeah, or, like, they're doing stuff on people, maybe. Who knows? But a lot of it has to do with, like, this, like, fear that they're experimenting with deadly diseases that can affect humans. I'm pretty sure that people on Long Island did some kind of, like, protest or something to, like, block them from studying basically diseases that can affect humans because they're so close to Long Island. They don't want that. And the main building is called, it's like building or lab 257. So this guy, an attorney named Michael Carroll, published a book called Lab 257. And it's got like a subtitle or whatever. But basically what he says in it is that as part of their research, they created Lyme disease and then released it into the United States in the 70s.
Holy fuck. I think I've heard that before.
Yeah, totally. And like something that I don't know if this is true, but apparently it first surfaced like in the 70s in Connecticut, in a place called Old Lyme, which is why it's called Lyme disease, which sounds fake. And I didn't read that from the Wikipedia for Lyme disease. I read that from an article about this topic on like one of those websites that are like mysteriousworld.com or something. So like if you fact check that and you find I'm wrong, I'm not surprised. But yeah, I mean, like, so also something about Lyme disease is like real shitty. It'll give you like a fever. From what I've read from the symptoms and things like that, basically it affects like the connective tissue and the neurological tissue of your body. So you can get like the stuff around your heart can get inflamed, and that's real bad. It'll give you a fever. It can affect your joints. It can affect you by giving you basically symptoms similar to multiple sclerosis, which is just like that's what's happening. The connective tissue around your neurons, I guess, all of your nervous system starts breaking down when you have multiple sclerosis. So it makes it difficult for your brain to connect with your body and communicate with signals to make you move properly, basically.
Oh my gosh.
That's what's happening with that, is that there's like a tissue around your I wish I knew the right. I think it's like a neuron, I guess. Yeah, there's like a tissue around your neurons that like makes basically the electricity, I guess, go travel efficiently. And so like with some diseases like multiple sclerosis, that starts breaking down. So there's like a break in that communication. So then that makes you have trouble with like your motor functions and memory and things like that as other parts of it start breaking down.
Wow.
So Lyme disease also does that. So that means that like some people get Lyme disease, and depending on when you catch it and start treating it, your symptoms get worse and worse or more complicated or more life-threatening. And like some people have to end up dealing with that for the rest of their lives. Like there's just damage that's been done that you have to deal with. The article on Wikipedia said like 5% of people with Lyme disease end up having to deal with like chronic neurological issues from it.
Wow.
Yeah. However, this is not the same concept as chronic Lyme disease, apparently, which is disputed in the medical community whether or not it's real.
What?
Yeah. Chronic Lyme disease. I don't know what the difference is. Like the difference, I guess, is just like if you get Lyme disease, then you treat it and then you're left with whatever damage that it did to your body. But chronic Lyme disease is just like Lyme disease symptoms forever, some of which may or may not be psychosomatic.
Oh, okay.
And so it's sort of like a fringe concept, evidently. And chronic Lyme disease is what is focused on in this theory, which is, I don't know, maybe that's why, because it's associated with a conspiracy theory, then doctors don't take it seriously, or some of the details of it are like, yeah, okay, but basically this guy and a lot of people think like they were researching these animal diseases and that there was a German, possibly Nazi virologist scientist out there infecting ticks with the disease, and then they spread to this small town in Connecticut.
I was just about to ask you if you mentioned ticks yet.
Oh, yeah. The only way you can get Lyme, not the only way, but the way that you get Lyme disease is not just ticks, but deer ticks specifically. So like if you, I don't know, for me, this is obvious because there are different kinds of ticks. So like you can tell the difference.
I wouldn't know the fucking difference between, you mean they look different or like you would tell?
Yeah. So there's like a normal tick that's just like the one that you find when you walk around the woods in Indiana, and you'll find them on your dog or you'll find them on you, and you want to be careful about like not pulling off their face from their body because they can kind of burrow into your skin. But usually those are no big deal. Like if you just have a normal tick, like it looks like a beetle kind of, and it's real gross, but you can just get some tweezers and pull it off of you, or have your mom pull it off of you, and then you get to burn it with a match, and it's exciting. Like that's the typical tick experience for those of you who don't know.
That sounds like a Precious Christie in Indiana memory.
Very much so. Yes, absolutely.
I cannot say that I don't think I've ever encountered ticks, or I just didn't know. Okay.
you mean when you went inside from outside, you didn't do a tick check? Come on.
No, I mean, I grew up in the desert, so we would check for like sticker bushes that got stuck in our clothes, but other than that,
true. Wait. Yeah, you always want to check yourself for ticks because then you can know if you had one and you can keep an eye out on it. When you get Lyme disease, you get like a red welt and then a rash around where the tick bit you. So that's how you know.
I love how informational this is.
Yeah. Also, you can't avoid it by just never going outside.
Which is something we always recommend here at That's Weird.
Again, humans, not meant for nature. That's why we're always trying to tear it down.
Tearing it down, putting up walls. This is just the way it is. I don't know what to tell you.
This is how we deal with nature. But yeah, so anyway, a deer tick is different. It's smaller. And it's like, part of why they have this association with this is because it's usually on deers or like other like hoofed animals that are out in the wild, which is they're literally studying specifically hoofed livestock animals at this facility.
So I do have a question. Why would a Nazi scientist of some kind, what was it called? A virologist?
A virologist.
Virologist. Yeah. That's a cool word. Mm-hmm. Why would they be helping the U.S. or working with the U.S.?
so that they didn't get, they didn't have to go to prison for war atrocities.
Oh, you think they were forced? Like this was their sentence?
Well, I don't know if they were forced. Those people are like, hey, you know what? I would much rather just go live on like a cute island with some hella cool birds and just keep doing what I was doing.
Right.
Than go to jail or be killed.
Yeah.
I made myself sad, Ashley.
Great. Well, I feel like we started on Plum Island with the hooves and now we're in Connecticut with the ticks and it's somehow all connected.
Oh God, it's all connected.
It's all fucking connected.
That's what happens with conspiracy theories.
That's true.
Okay, let me try and get back on track.
Okay.
Let me try and get back on track here and I'll wrap it up. Basically, the big conspiracy behind this is the idea that they released Lyme disease into the population of the world and America because it's something that they've been, or that they had been experimenting on. And that's it. Like, that's the big thing. The people who work there are like, nah, we didn't do that. And also the Montauk Monster was definitely a dog. And also, it's starting to be a little bit less of a mystery what's going on there because lately they're trying to close it down and just move it to Kansas.
Kansas?
Kansas.
Wait, so this is ongoing?
Sort of, I don't know if they're like doing research on foot and mouth disease since it's not really that big of a deal in America anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just kind of like, you know, I don't know. I guess they don't want to have it there. Some people are also arguing like the expense of the project is not worth what we're getting out of it, which... That's definitely something I feel like you see a lot with government buildings and conspiracies, too. It's like, what is this even for? Why is it so expensive? What are they doing?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they have something else that they can experiment and test on now, some new disease or I don't know. But so this is an ongoing thing. It's still happening.
Oh, yeah. It's still happening. I mean, the Montauk Monster was like 2002. The guy who washed up in Long Island with the long fingers and brain surgery scars was like 2010 or something.
Wow.
The last article I read was from 2016. And they were saying like they'll probably try and close it down within the next decade or so and then move operations to Kansas pretty much.
Yikes, for everyone that lives in Kansas. Enjoy that.
Right? That's what I always think about stuff like that.
About the people that live
there?
We're
all going to die.
Oh. Well, yeah.
About people in Kansas? Yikes. That's what I think.
You're just always thinking about them.
Just always. Shout out to Kansas, you guys. Not to be confused with Arkansas.
Oh my God, that's still one of my favorite vines. RIP Vine. Fuck.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
The girl that's like... America. You're telling me
America,
this
is
why? Oh, it's cool. Good stuff. Vine,
so cute,
was a gift to us all.
Gosh.
Golly gosh. What can you put in your show notes from this?
I've got pictures of gross animals.
Oh, no.
I've got an article about it from the New York Times, several Wikipedia sites. Also, it didn't really add anything for me, but I'll probably add it in the show notes. Some guy from one of those terrible shows on the Discovery Channel, like, got in a helicopter and flew over it and was like, look at that. It's not very safely protected. What's in there? Like that was it.
That was it.
It was really, but you can see like kind of the island and what I'm talking about and the building and stuff like that. So that's nice.
I wonder, have we talked about the marine mammal program here in Washington and in San Diego?
What? No.
So I'm wondering if they have that there too. So in San Diego and here in Washington, there are seals and dolphins that have been trained to attack people swimming to these like naval bases. They're also trained to find bombs and torpedoes and stuff. And I wonder if they have those kind of animals surrounding Plum Island.
Oh my God.
That way you can't swim to it. I mean, obviously they'll see you if you're in a boat, but if you tried to swim or like take a submarine.
If you try and swim, you're going to get caught by an octopus that's been trained.
An octopus? That's really what they should have up here is the octopus because it's very Pacific Northwest. But instead they just.
Great at wrestling.
I know. They shipped up the dolphins and sea lions from San Diego, I guess. This is a real program. I was doing research for it at my job and they won't talk to me about it. Like they sent me, I sent them a bunch of questions and like a representative answered the questions for me, but refused to be on the radio.
Oh my gosh.
And now they'll probably come find me at my house for telling this to all of our listeners. It's fine.
Great. Now they're going to have to come find me too.
Goodbye, Christy.
Goodbye. I hope you enjoyed your time in LA. Now you're going to enjoy your time on Plum Island.
Oh, shit.
Being experimented on. Because why waste a good brain, you know?
That's true. Or worse, they'll ship you off to Kansas.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Fuck.
R.I.P. to me.
I know. I feel like this is a very true to form episode because you're back on your conspiracy theory bullshit.
Yeah.
And I'm back on my cryptid bullshit.
Oh, shit.
Those are our favorite things.
Also, thematically linked because mine had a little bit of cryptid in it as well.
That's fucking true. Always. Always.
That's weird.
That's so weird. Yeah, I'm going to talk about a creepy amphibian cryptid from Ohio called the Loveland Frog or Frogman.
Oh my goodness.
I can tell you already love him.
I love him.
I love him. He's so cute.
I love him.
So
I'm ready.
You ready? Okay. Am I ready? I think so. Okay. According to legend and of course Wikipedia, this creature was first spotted back in 1955. Damn it, Christine.
I can't. That's too good. Oh, all right, I'm ready. I'm on board. 1955. Here we go.
1955. It's okay. You can have a chuckle break every now and again. 1955. A man was driving late at night near the Branch Hill neighborhood. Somewhere in Ohio, I assume Loveland, and he spotted three figures on the side of the road. They were roughly 3 to 4 feet tall, standing on two legs, and they had leathery skin and frog-like faces.
Ooh.
That is not something you want to see at night, personally. I would be terrified. Another story claims that this happened under a bridge. It kind of varies. Either way, it was spooky and weird. And the man claims that he watched the creatures talk to each other for a while, like fucking conversing with each other. And then one of them held a wand over its head and sprayed sparks like a sparkler.
What?
I forgot about that part. It's been a couple days since I wrote my notes. I forgot about that part.
What if it just was a sparkler?
Exactly. What if it was just some like really ugly children with sparklers? Like, have we thought about that?
Those poor kids. Like, what if it was like, dude, I just saw the scariest, ugliest thing. It's like literally 4th of July and it's just their neighbor's kids and they're just real ugly and they have a sparkler in their hand.
It's very, very plausible. Honestly. So the wand and the sparks, that really scared this man. So he immediately drives off. And God, I just love the idea of some little, like, if they weren't children, just some little frog buds playing with sparklers on a bridge.
Just hanging out.
Just trying to have fun. They're like, what the fuck is this human doing? Get out of here.
They're like talking shit about him.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand. I actually really like that.
Yeah, like, Jerry, pretend that your sparkler is a wand and fucking fling it at him and see what happens.
Jerry
the frog. So that was the first sighting, and that was in 1955. Now we're going to fast forward to 1972 for the next sighting. I know. Big deal alert. So Around 1 a.m., a Loveland police officer named Ray Shockey was driving near a boot factory on the Little Miami River.
Oh my God, that is so Midwest.
I know.
Just
Ohio. So many weird.
I'm driving by the boot factory. Okay, I'm on board. You need boots if you're going to be farming.
So true.
Go on.
So true. I know. I was like, Ohio has so many weird little details in this story. What is going, what goes on there? I don't know. So he's driving by a boot factory when an unidentifiable animal scurried in front of his cop car trying to cross the road. And obviously he stops. And because...
Like in Frogger?
When did Frogger come out? Because now I want to call shenanigans. Like, sir, you made it up.
Oh my God. No, please continue.
Because it ran in front of the road and he was in a cop car, his headlights gave him a pretty good look at the thing. He said it was a 3 to 4 foot tall creature with leathery skin that seemed to crouch like a frog. And it stood up, climbed over the guardrail, and disappeared down into the river.
Ooh.
Very spooky.
Very spooky. And... very frog-like.
Yeah, that sounds like an animal. There wasn't a wand involved. No sparklers this time. Seems more, makes more sense. And then 2 weeks later, another Loveland police officer saw the exact same thing in the same place as the other sighting. But this time, the officer shot the animal like a real jerk and put it in his trunk so he could go show it to Officer Shockey. He was like, bro, I found the thing, I killed it, it's in the trunk. Anyway,
I found the thing, I killed it. Oh my God.
Yeah. So when they both took a look at what was in there, what they had in that trunk, it looked like a massive iguana, just like an iguana, but
okay,
3 to 4 feet long, a huge, huge iguana, and missing a tail.
What?
Which really makes
that, I mean, that is a frog, to be fair.
Essentially
that is a frog.
Think of an iguana without a tail. It just seems so weird.
Yeah.
So Shockey said that it did indeed look like the creature that he saw the other night, but no one cares about the iguana story, so the frogman legend lived on. And
no one cares about the iguana story.
People were like, that's nice, it was a frog man, and you're lying because you're cops, so we're still gonna believe
it. I mean,
it.
That's fair, to be honest.
So we're gonna fast forward again all the way to 2016, very recent.
Ooh.
A guy and his girlfriend were playing Pokemon Go. There's so many good little things in this story.
Oh my God.
They're playing Pokemon Go between Loveland Road and Lake Isabella when they spotted some big, shiny eyes in the water in the darkness. This was at night. And Sam Jacobs was the guy with his girlfriend. And he later told a local news station, and I'm just going to read the quote.
Okay.
We saw a huge frog near the water. Not in the game Pokemon Go. This was an actual giant frog.
Oh my God.
He says,
not in the game.
No, it wasn't in the game. Quit asking me. It was not.
Like,
in the
listen,
game.
Pokemon Go is fun, but like, it's not that good at augmented reality that you would think that it was a frog in the water.
Right. And for anyone who hasn't played Pokemon Go, it is just like you lift up your phone and it's like you just have your camera on and you can see what's in front of you, and then there's a little creature. And so they were like, sir, are you sure you saw a frog?
Oh my God, that's the best.
Yeah. So
that's amazing.
He also said, I took a couple of pictures and a video because I had never seen a frog that big. Then the thing stood up and walked on its hind legs and walked away.
Oh my God. But wait, where are his videos?
Oh, they exist.
They're so excited.
They're not good. They're really not good. He also said that he swears on his grandmother's grave that this is the truth. That he 100% says that he saw the frogman.
Too bad his grandma was cremated, so she doesn't even have a grave.
Boom. That's how you get around that.
Whoa.
Whoa. Just a pro tip. you're not technically lying.
Yeah.
So it's, what's this guy's name? Sam. Sam went on to say that he realized that like some people would think he was crazy, but he swore it was the truth. And he said, I'm not sure whether it was Frogman or just some kind of giant mutant frog. Either way, I've never seen anything like it. And so I did watch his video, and it's very dark and short, and you see the water, and you see something in the water, and it has these huge glowing eyes. If you adjust the brightness, you can see its outline a little bit better. And at the end, it does appear to like move, like it's getting up to go somewhere, though you don't see legs or anything like that. But it's scary. And this dude sounds so sure that like I want to believe him.
Yeah, I mean, sure, why not?
Oh, Sam.
Oh, Sam, we believe you.
So yeah, that last encounter like really has me believing that a giant frog creature is haunting the rivers or lakes or whatever of Ohio. Because it's so recent. And
like a 3 foot tall frog.
Just a giant ass frog.
I'm imagining, do you remember that like a Looney Tunes cartoon with the frog that would be like, hello, my baby, hello, my honey, and like walk around?
Of course, yes.
And then anytime anyone looked, it would just be like, ribbit.
Oh my God.
That's what's happening here.
That is the frog man. I think that dude had a name, didn't he? I don't know what it was. The frog that sings. I don't know.
The frog that sings. That's definitely
the
it.
The singing frog. Yeah, it's just, it's all kind of wild. I like that there's like three separate events. They're all different. They all have, well, one doesn't have any evidence, but the other two do have evidence. And it's, I don't know. It's, that's pretty rare for a cryptid sighting. Not a lot of people get video, except with Bigfoot, and not a lot of people, you know, kill something and bring it back in their trunk. So
it's true. Also, the stories about it seem pretty consistent.
That's true. Yeah, it was all 3 to 4 feet in length or height or whatever, and they all said that it walked and that it looked like a frog.
Yeah. Also, that frog's name, Michigan J Frog.
Of course. How could I forget such an iconic name? Michigan J Frog, what the fuck.
Oh my God.
So yeah, the Loveland Frog has become a huge part of Cincinnati folklore. Ohio friggin' loves it, and so do other people. In 2014, before even the latest sighting, the Loveland Frog legend was made into a musical called Hot Damn, It's the Loveland Frog. I don't like musicals, but I'd probably see that.
I mean, please, when's it coming to LA?
Could you go on tour with this? Because we're not coming there.
Could you bring it to Broadway?
Oh, fuck.
Yes, no.
Maybe off-Broadway? I believe it.
Off-off-Broadway?
Super off.
Very off. Just a little off-Broadway.
Just a little. And the frog is also featured in a science fiction mystery novel called The Man from Primrose Lane.
Wow.
So it's become a... It's become a real thing. Like, it's a very famous cryptid.
Yeah.
And that's the...
I mean, he's a good... I feel like this is this episode's Jeff, for sure.
Look, no one's ever going to be like Jeff, but...
No.
Except for the Bell Witch, which I had no idea was so similar to Jeff.
True.
Now, I feel like Jeff has ruined everything for me, because I'm always like, yeah, but, like, Jeff did it better.
It's true. You just can't beat him, you know?
It's Jeff. Maybe that it's should Jeff. Be the name of our new podcast. Instead of That's Jeff, it's Jeff.
It's Jeff. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the story of the Loveland Frog or Frog Man. I've seen it both ways. I, of course, want to believe that it exists.
Yeah, me too. I love it.
Good. I
like this one.
I thought Christy's going to enjoy the really weird details of this.
Right? So specific.
I know. Also, I just saw some photos of a massive python eating a full-grown crocodile in Australia. So...
Girl, what?
Yes.
And also, are you sure it was a crocodile or was it a caiman? Because those are much smaller.
I mean, all of the people on the comments said it was a crocodile and it looked real big.
Oh, no.
And it's Australia. So like everything is scary and big.
Yeah, that's true. But, I believe
but
it.
But seeing that,
everything is dinosaurs down there.
Oh, my God. Just 100% Jurassic Park 24/7.
So scary. I can never think of Australia without thinking about that like little children's like pig cartoon where they had to ban an episode because it was like, see, spiders aren't scary, from England. And they're like, no, the fuck they aren't. Like, yeah.
They're like, why would you even joke about this? This is dangerous.
Yeah. It's like, we literally cannot tell our children to not be afraid of spiders. They have to be afraid of spiders.
Down there. Yeah. I mean, here too.
Absolutely. Sort of, yeah.
Not as much, but anyway, I saw that because there's someone, oh my God, this is all, we keep talking about Australia, but this is on Facebook and it was some dude's like personal photos and he took a bunch of them. He like hung out and watched a python eat a full grown crocodile. It was almost, it was like half of its length because this was like a 20 foot python, but like a 10-foot crocodile, and it was just eating it as slowly as possible, and the man just hung out there in the water on his kayak. Like,
well, I mean, to be fair, the crocodile is dead and the python is full, so
you know what, you got me there. I guess if you live in Australia, you're like, this is the safest place I could be. No one's going to fuck with this. Like, <Yeah. laughs> no other predators are coming around right now.
Oh, my God.
There's like 10 photos of it. Anyway, but I saw that and I thought, wow, all kinds of weird shit's going on in the waterways of this world. So there could be a frogman out there because what the fuck?
Absolutely.
Scary shit.
That seems like pretty Ohio level cryptid too, to be honest. Just like a harmless frog that has sparklers.
The sparkler. That is my.
I'm convinced it's literally just a sparkler. Like, it's a real cryptid, and it just found a sparkler.
It's like,
was like,
human, what does this do? And then it like lights on fire. Oh my God, I love it. I love it. Also, they mentioned a boot factory in one of the sightings, and I'm pretty sure that, like, maybe some fucked up boot chemicals got into the water, created a mutant Ooh. Frog, or, like, a family of mutant frogs. That 100% wow. makes sense to me.
That's deep.
That is deep.
It's getting deep.
That's basically confirmed. I solved the mystery. You're welcome.
Also, when I was laughing so hard at the fact that it was a boot factory, I was actually thinking of Boot City. A very specific place where you buy boots in Terre Haute.
Oh my God. How big is it to be called a city? It's a store.
It's not that big. It's really not that big. It's like the size of a Payless that you find in a strip mall, because that's what it is. But for boots.
I think we had something like that in Las Vegas, but it was like hats. It was like Hat Town or something. I don't fucking know. You ever been to Hat Town?
Yeah. Y'all ever gone to Hat Village? Boot City's sister town?
You gotta go there after you get your boots to get your matching hat.
Absolutely.
I don't know why I sound Southern when I talk about Las Vegas.
Gotta go to Boot City, get your boots, swing on by Denim Junction.
Oh yeah, Denim.
Get outfitted.
Denim Junction's my favorite. Really, and there's also Dress Barn, but that's like a whole thing. That's a chain.
Get a dress at Dress Barn. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And top it all off, literally, at Hat Village.
Shit. You're looking fresh.
Wow.
After that. For sure.
For sure.
I do have a weird fact for you.
You do?
I do. And it's the most wonderful fact we've ever had, besides maybe the fact that buttload is an actual unit of measurement. That one's pretty good. This is, well, did you know that back in the 1970s, there were spooky beauty pageants inspired by the soap opera Dark Shadows?
What?
It was called the Miss American Vampire Contest, and it was held nationwide to promote a film version of the TV series.
Oh my God, I want to do that.
That needs to come back immediately.
Please.
The winner won a guest spot on the show and a trip to New York.
And in order to win or even enter, you had to have a vampire look to compete.
A vampire look.
I think it was, I saw some pictures and the girls look like no one's smiling. Everyone's wearing black. I can't believe that we don't do this now.
I love it.
Deeply upset.
Bring it back.
Bring it back.
Someone bring it back. They did do a Dark Shadows movie and it was the worst.
Is that the Johnny Depp one?
Yeah.
It wasn't great. I feel like
it was where it was the one where Johnny Depp plays all of his characters from all of his Tim Burton movies.
Great.
Yeah, it was bad.
No, thank you. I remember the best part of that movie being the soundtrack and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Mm. That's, I mean, the same could be said for a lot of movies with Michelle Pfeiffer in it. That's fucking
true. also, the tagline for these spooky beauty pageants was, it's a contest you can sink your teeth into.
Oh, okay.
Cute. I love it.
Cute.
Into it. And that's it.
I love that so much. Way too much.
Way too much. I'll have to send you a photo from, or I mean, you could just Google it, but like the photos are incredible.
I'm going to Google it right now for
do
sure.
Do it. While you do that, I will do our outro.
Ooh.
You can find our show notes at thatsweird.org. I'm going to post the video of the fucking frog. Oh my God. You're going to love it. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at thatsweirdcast. You can and should like our Facebook page and join our Facebook group. If you want to support our show with monies, you can do so on Anchor or Patreon. Patreon.com/thatsweird. Oh, that reminds me, we are so close to our next Patreon goal, which is like a silly thing, but it also helps us do cool shit. Like we have a special surprise for our patrons that we've talked about it in the Patreon group. It's like, well, I'll whisper it to you and then I'll bleep it out.
Okay.
It's just, it's the.
Oh,
but we're going to do like Patreon exclusive, where if you're a patron, there's going to be a giveaway and you'll have access to those first when we reveal what it is. And you can join for as little as $1 a month. There's a ton of videos and minisodes and listener episodes. It's awesome. Patreon.com/thatsweird.
I love it.
Yeah. And if you have a weird story that you want to tell us about, please do. We love the subject lines. They're the best. You can email us at thatsweirdcast@gmail.com. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, and fucking stay weird, you guys.
Hell yeah.
Did you find the photo, Christy?
Yeah, but first, like the autocomplete on Google must have been listening to us because it was like vampire frog was the first one.
Oh my God.
Right?
That's deeply disturbing, and also the government is always watching.
It's true. Yeah. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Moth boys, moth fucking boys, we talk about cryptids and we love That's Weird.
Hello, That's Weird podcast listeners. We are Moth Boys,
a podcast on cryptids, conspiracies, and the unknown. You can catch us every other Monday on actually wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Thank you.